Why was Alice making her wait? May Malveaux lifted the hem of her thin cotton nightdress and walked barefoot across the lawn into the shade of a sheltering willow tree. The hammock shifted gently in the warm evening breeze, and the first stars decorated a purple-pink sky. It would be dark soon, and she didn't want to be outside by herself. She lay back in the hammock and hummed to herself, the colors above her head deepening. Soon, she saw just the tree's slim green leaves. May was glad she didn't have to be in Harlem sweating through her clothes on some fire escape. She would look up when she walked down the street and see under the skirts of women she knew from church. They sat there on the metal cages fanning themselves all day. She didn't want to be like that, exposed to the world like an animal at the zoo. And thank God, because of who she was, she didn't have to perspire in public. Ever since her mother had looked at her daughter's long dark plaits and perfect 10-year-old face and said, "Put May's picture on the pomade jars," there had been no need for her to be like anyone else, no reason to do what other people do. She could live in a proper brownstone and not hear strangers' footsteps up above her head. She could come up to Westchester County and run half naked in the dark with the girl she loved more than her own pretty face. And for May Malveaux, that was saying something. Now her silky dark hair flowed loose around her. She knew her mama would get mad if it frizzed up in the dewy air, but she didn't care. May sat up. She heard the shushing of Alice's slippered feet rushing through the grass. Suddenly, Alice collapsed over her leg, slapping herself on the ankle.
"Ouch! Damn mosquito! May! Why do we always have to be outside? You know you can come to my house. We can stay in my room."
May opened and closed her mouth. She decided not to try again to explain how indoors they belonged to other people. At least that's how life presented itself to May. Indoors, she had to wear black stockings that clung to her legs like spiderwebs, and indoor dance instructors who poked at her when her step lagged a beat behind or her back remained unbending. But she had begun to suspect this wasn't the same for Alice, especially after Alice cut her hair into the shockingly mannish bob so many white women were wearing. Tall and vivacious with skin the color of cooked caramel, Alice strode through the world as if she were a white woman and entitled to every freedom of a black man. Alice's face and hair were not printed on thousands of jars of hair product. Alice could skip coming out for a full year just because she didn't feel like getting dressed for the debutante ball. She had also experienced men. Real men, not the bashful boy, gentleman callers, summoned by a mother and sitting chastely on a sofa. May knew for a fact Alice supped on the delights of Wayne Watts, one of the deacons at their Harlem church, Anthony Harris, owner of the Belle Fleur restaurant, and Nicholas King, the very sight of the well-muscled landlord, made women draw breath in anticipation of his body threatening to burst through his clothing at any moment. May would listen to Alice's exploits in admiration and naked jealousy. At 18, Alice was already her own woman, while May, at 20, doubted she ever would be. So instead, she just asked Alice, "Where have you been?"
"I wasn't feeling too well after dinner. Had to make my mama believe I was fine, that it was just something I ate."
May didn't ask why Alice wasn't feeling well. She didn't care. It only mattered that Alice had made her way to May there now, and the feeling of loneliness that often opened up and threatened to swallow May whole had closed again.
"Come here," May whispered. "Lie down."